All right. Well, good morning once again, everyone. And just to give a brief synopsis of, we started out looking in, we're looking at John chapter 15. So if you haven't turned there, then I encourage you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, John 15. We'll pick up there in just a minute. But thinking about this whole idea of the abiding in Christ as God's stay at home order for us as believers here today, to stay at home, not to stay in a physical location, not that kind of at home, but to stay at home, to be close to Him, to be in close fellowship and communion with Him, and being those branches that we should be connected to the vine, bearing fruit for His glory. And so we want to pick up where we left off there with looking at, why does He tell us to stay at home? And the first is the idea of fellowship, and we began looking at that with verses 1 through 3. We saw there about the just the idea itself of the fellowship, and then also looking at the unfruitful branch, and then began looking at the even the fruitful branch. His desire is for us to bear more fruit, even when we are fruitful. And we began looking at the Word of God that He uses in cleansing us as His branches, that we will bring forth more fruit to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you a question as we begin this section, this time together. Do you desire to be a fruitful believer? You know, I think in the days in which we live, it's so easy to get wrapped up in just kind of going through the motions and having meetings and doing the things that we're supposed to do. But I wonder, do we really long to be fruitful? Do I really long to bear fruit to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? And we're going to be looking at that in more detail shortly. But just that whole desire, it's amazing. I think His desire for us is stronger than our desire for it. He longs for us to be fruitful. He longs for us to be connected closely to the Lord Jesus Christ. He longs for us to be in close communion with Him, so much so, as we looked at in John chapter 14, that He said, I will come and I will make my abode, I will make my home and be at home in your life. We can't be fruitful without that. Without Him, we can do nothing. How desperately do we really see the imperative and the urgency and have that longing in our hearts to be those fruitful branches that He wants us to be? And one of the things that He uses to make us more fruitful is the Word of God. And, you know, we can never be encouraged too much in spending time in the Word of God. It's so critical. There's so many things that He uses the Word of God for in our lives. And one of those is that cleansing, that working in our lives to make us clean. By doing so, to make us closer in our fellowship with Him. And you know, you think about that branch. Isn't it easy to kind of compartmentalize our lives and to say, well, you know, this day is Sunday, and so therefore I'm going to be doing more related to the Lord and His work. And so this day I really need to abide in Him. I really need to stay at home with Him in that regard. But you know, the branch doesn't have sections of its life where it chooses or chooses not or needs to or doesn't need to. It's all the time. It's every day, 24/7. And that's the type of abiding that He wants from us, and He longs for from us to make us more fruitful. And He uses the Word of God to do that, to make us, to cleanse us. And when we do, and we're in that closer relation to Him, once again, there's that idea of peace that we have. It speaks of peace with Him. And so that's where I want to leave that section now and go on to another reason. The first reason that He gives this stay-at-home order is for that fellowship with Him, speaking of a life with just that peace with Him. Now, beginning in verses 4 and 5, he gives another reason, I'd suggest, and that is food from Christ. And that speaks of a life with power. Without that food from Christ, it speaks of a life with power. We'll never be a fruitful branch without that. And so let's look at verses 4 and 5. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can't..." And you know what? Once again, you've got to stop there for a second and let those simple words, the longest of those words is just five letters. Abide in me and I in you. What an incredible thing. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the God of the universe. We're talking about the eternal creator, sovereign on the throne of the universe, and he wants us to abide and be close to him. And he wants to abide in us. It's an amazing thing to take in. And then he says, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know, the branch is useless apart from the vine. It's just that simple. The branches are absolutely useless, not connected to the vine. We must stay at home with him in close fellowship. Remember, not speaking about a location at home, but speaking about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Staying at home and close to him for us to really function and to fulfill our purpose as a branch. And so as the branch draws from the vine everything, all of that nourishment that it needs to bear fruit, that's where we are with Christ. We have to draw from him that food, as it were, to produce that fruit in our lives. This speaks of a life with power. We can do nothing without him. A life with power. And so how do we get this food from Christ? It kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Word of God. But there's a deeper sense of it as we're going to dive into it. So we get it from the Word of God. I'm going to read a verse to you from the book of Deuteronomy. And I want you to listen to it and see if you can remember who is the one who quoted this verse in the New Testament. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. "And so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." And of course, I know everyone knows that that's the Lord himself is the one who quoted that. And we have that recorded for us in two places, in Matthew 4:4 and in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4 as well. And it was a time when he was tempted by the devil after having fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And so in spite of his intense hunger, he knew that his spiritual food was more important. Now think of this. We miss a meal. We miss a meal and we know it and we feel it. After 40 days of fasting, he knew that his real most important thing was the Word of God. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God was most important. You know, he never says that physical food is not important. But he does say that we cannot live without every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Very clear. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so if I'm not abiding in the vine and receiving that spiritual nourishment from the Word of God, what is the implication? I can't live. I can't truly live a life as a branch fulfilling His purposes, for I may exist without it. And I think there's the difference. And I think so many times we see believers existing and not really living and fulfilling our purpose as a branch to bear fruit. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. We have to have that. We have to have that nourishment to truly live as a branch to bring glory to the vine. Do I view the Word of God as that necessary for me as a branch? Do I see it for my spiritual health? Do I see it for my spiritual life and purpose as a branch? Do I look at that just as necessary and more necessary even than physical food to my body? Now, I really got to ask myself, honestly, the answers to those questions. Am I only existing, or am I truly living for Christ as a productive branch for His glory? 1 Peter 2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As some were in the opening before we started this morning, some were asking about our new granddaughter. And she's 5 months old now, and every day is just as delightful as the next. We don't get tired of our granddaughter. We love our granddaughter. But, you know, one thing about, and her name is Selah, by the way. Selah, like in the Psalms. Selah Noel. And one of the things about Selah is when it's time to eat, she lets you know. You know, there's no making two ways about it. It doesn't matter who's around or in what the circumstances are, in what room she's in or whatever it might be. When it's time to eat, Selah is going to let you know, and she's going to tell us about it. And, you know, I wonder, do I like Selah with that physical milk, view my need for nourishment from Christ, the vine, as being that necessary, being so important. It doesn't matter who's around, doesn't matter where I am. That is the most important thing that I need as a branch, to stay connected to the vine, to receive that nourishment from the vine, or else there's no way I could be fruitful. It's just not going to happen. There's no substitute. You know, that's what Selah would tell us. If she could say the words, she would say, there's no substitute. I've got to have it. And that's really what she's saying when she screams out. And that should be my attitude toward the Word of God. There's no substitute for it. I can't be distracted by this, that, and the other thing, because there's nothing that is more important for my physical or my spiritual health and well-being as a branch to be fruitful for His glory than to be connected to the vine. Psalm 119 and 103 says, how sweet are your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is that something we can read that because somebody else wrote it? But is that something that would come from my heart? Is that something that I would say? If somebody were to ask me, what do you find to be sweet? Would I refer to the Word of God? That there's nothing that is sweeter than the Word of God to my mouth. Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, he says, your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The joy and rejoicing of my heart. I hope that that's our testimony this morning, is that that's what we would say when we dig into the Word of God and we are being connected to the vine, and through that He's given us that nourishment that will issue out in fruit bearing as a branch. Here's another reason that He gave us to stay at home with Him, to be close to Him. A branch simply cannot fulfill its purpose in relationship to the vine without that nourishment, to abide, to stay at home with Him. But, you know, it starts with an attitude. And this is where I want to talk about, because that verse that I quoted, I went back and I read, or I didn't quote it, I read it to you from Deuteronomy chapter 8, the one that the Lord Jesus quoted in the New Testament. It's fascinating. If you would turn back to that chapter, because Deuteronomy chapter 8, because the whole context is so relevant, even to John chapter 15 is so relevant. And so Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want to begin reading. And remember, this is that whole context in which we find the verse that Jesus quoted when He was tempted. Deuteronomy 8, and beginning with verse number 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And so right there from the very outset, we can see how the Lord is describing, look, my word is so important that you've got to hang on every part of it if you want to go into this land and you want to live. If you want to go into this land and you want to multiply, if you want to go into this land and you want to possess it, that's what is required. Verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. And notice verse 3. And so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. He did these things for a reason. Look at going on in verse 3. That He might make you to know that man shall not live by bread alone. He allowed them to go through those things because they needed to know that lesson. And brothers and sisters, we need that lesson. We need to be reminded of it. This is not a new truth. I know it. But you know, if there's one area of our lives that the enemy is going to attack us, it is the Word of God and prayer. And what does that speak of? That speaks of our connection with the vine. The Word of God and prayer. I know if I were to go around the room and all of us raise our hand and tell about our own lives, more than likely, all of us can look at times in our lives when we have sensed the enemy fighting in our lives to keep us from the Word of God and to keep us from prayer. Why? Why is that? Because the enemy knows, I think, sometimes better than we know how critical it is for us as branches to be connected to the vine. Because he doesn't want us. The enemy does not want us to be fruitful. Once we become a part, once we are a branch, once we have been saved, there's nothing he can do to change that. But he sure can fight to make us unfruitful. And you know, I think this is one of the ways. And so he says that he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 4, your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. You know, the Lord had just said that man cannot live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Notice what he says when they do so. Notice the emphasis on fruitfulness in verses 7 through 9. Look at verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. Why does he tell us all of these details? Because he wants to create this picture of a fruitful land. And what is going to allow them to enjoy this fruitfulness as they go in? It's what he has already said in the preceding verses. What we've already talked about in the preceding verses. In verse 8, it's a land with wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. It's a land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. You know, we could stop right there and we could say, man, to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is so important to enjoy that fruitfulness that we want to have as Brent. How awesome is that? But the passage doesn't even stop there. The next part is so critical because it goes into the absolute necessity of an attitude of heart. And the attitude is one of dependency, total dependency upon Christ. And the reason I wanted to go into this is because, you know, we can go through the motions of spending time in the Word and feeling like, yeah, we're abiding, we're connected, and we're doing those things. But, you know, this attitude of heart could make a total difference of going through the motions and actually abiding, actually being connected, actually drawing that nourishment and that power that we need to live for him and to be fruitful branches. Look at verse 10. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. The good land. And you know, we can look at our lives and we can enjoy it. We can look at how he has blessed us, all that he's provided for us. But look at verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. Man, this is a picture of us today, is it not? This could be a picture of us today. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness of which there are fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. And notice, and he brought water for you out of the flinty water, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, and your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good in the end. Now look carefully. Look at verse 17. Then you say in your heart, this is after you're in, and he has fulfilled his promises. In other words, we can go back to right to John chapter 15. And we could say, now you have been abiding. Now you are bearing fruit. And as you see that fruit, to sit back and to relax and to say, oh, wow, this is great. I've been a fruitful branch for this time in my life. but then forget the Lord. And then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Is it not tempting to do that? Are we not tempted to do that? It's on those times when we're probably the most fruitful that we are tempted to stop depending upon Him and to start taking the credit ourselves, like the people of Israel did when they're down in the land and they're enjoying the good of the land, and then they forget the Lord and they forget their dependence upon Him. That's so easy to fall into that. We can see fruit in our lives or fruit from ministry, and we can say, look what I have done. Look how God has used me. Look at the ministry that God has blessed. Or you know where I'm going with it. It's so easy for our flesh to step in and to start taking some of the credit and to turn our hearts away from the Lord as though we didn't need to depend on Him anymore. And what does that mean? We're not abiding. We're not connected. We're not drawing from Him all of the resources that we need to continue to be fruitful. In verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He. For it is He who gives you power and great wealth, that He may establish His covenant with you that He swore to your fathers to this day. Do you see what this passage is screaming out? Exactly what we read in John chapter 15 and verse 5, where He says, without me, you can do nothing. Why is it in my life I'm so tempted to pull away from that? Why is it I'm so tempted to rely on myself? Why is it I'm so tempted to rely on my abilities or my gift or the fact that He's poured out blessings, and then somehow we get away from the grace of God, and maybe not consciously in our thoughts, but in our attitude of a lack of dependence, we're saying, somehow I was worthy of this, or I did this, or it was by my strength or my power. Maybe we don't actually think those thoughts. But in our lack of dependency, sometimes that is the reality of our attitude. So this attitude of total dependence, without Him we can do absolutely nothing. What an attitude of dependence. This is where He wants us to be. This is the attitude He wants from us as branches. To say, Lord, I need you. Not only do I need you, but I want you. I want to be close. I want to be in close communion and in close fellowship. I don't want anything to hinder your working so that the fruit that comes from my life can be a testimony to your glory and to what you can do as we abide in Christ. But you know, there's one difference between a branch and us. A branch does not have a will. A branch does not have a will. We have a choice. As those branches, we have a choice of whether we're going to abide in Him, whether we're going to stay at home with Him, to stay closely connected, dependent upon Him for all of the nourishment that we need from His Word. We can't quote this verse enough from Hebrews 4:12. He says that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the complementary truth to John 15 and verse 5, where he says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. The complementary truth is actually found in Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, where Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Without him, we can do nothing. With him, all things are possible. Man, isn't that incredible to think of that? How important that we abide. How important that we stay closely connected. How critical that we have that attitude of dependency upon him. Because we need him. We need his power. We need his strength. How often do you eat? Now, for some of us, it probably lasts, we could say once, and it's all day. Maybe for some of us, it's not quite as much. But, you know, when we think about how often that we eat, when we think about how much time and money and that we invest in physical food, I have to ask myself, do I invest in my spiritual nourishment that way? Do I look at it in the same light that the Lord Jesus is pointing out to us in this picture of the vine and the branch, to stay connected, that I absolutely have to have it, or I'll never be fruitful? Have you ever wondered why the Lord made our physical nourishment to be a daily requirement? Maybe it's for this spiritual lesson for us, that we need him every day, day in and day out, just like that branch doesn't have sections of time that it's connected and sections that it's not connected. That branch has to remain there. That's the whole idea of the word abide, to remain, to stay connected all the time, to abide, to stay at home, to receive that nourishment, that total dependence all day, every day. Job 23 and verse number 12 says, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured, listen to what Job says, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I wonder, could I honestly say that myself? Isaiah 40:31 says, but those, we're all familiar with this verse, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That word for wait, it means to gather together by twisting. And the whole idea is that we are entwined around the Lord. Waiting is not sitting down and doing nothing. Waiting is drawing near, entwining ourselves around the Lord. Doing nothing doesn't give us strength. That's not the idea of waiting. The waiting is drawing near. This is very akin to this whole concept of abiding. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a blessing that he gives us in this picture of staying at home with him. I was reading about George Mueller. And George Mueller, he kept a journal. And in his journal, he talked about this lesson that he had learned after years of time, of his own time with the Lord, and things that he drew from it. And as he describes to it, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but he talks about how in his inner man he wanted to be nourished. That was his thing. So this is what he says in relationship to that. He says, the first thing I did, after having asked a few words of the Lord's blessing upon his precious word, was to begin to meditate on the word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get blessing out of it, not for the sake of public ministry of the word, not for the sake of preaching on what I had meditated on. This is what grabbed my attention when I read this. But for the sake of obtaining food for my soul. And this was, here is this godly man that we look up to as a man of faith, and the things that the Lord used him to accomplish, incredible. And it took him those years to learn this lesson, and this is what he drew away from it. As he said, but for the sake of obtaining food for my soul. How easy to just let our eyes go across the words of the page, to check it off as though we've accomplished something. But to see it as necessary, as critical to my abiding in Him. There was so much more that I wanted to go into with respect to these thoughts in John chapter 15. There are more reasons that he gives for staying at home with him. I encourage you, read through there and see those remaining reasons that he gives for how important. Next time you hear that phrase, stay at home, because you're going to hear it again, right? We know we're going to hear it in one way or another. But don't think about the physical sense of staying at home when you hear that phrase. Don't think about the walls of your house. Think about the person of the Lord Jesus, the vine. And to stay at home with Him, to draw near, to abide in Him. Because we want to be fruitful. We want our lives here to count for His glory, to count for eternity. And without Him, we can do nothing. Without His word, we have no strength, we have no power, we have no direction. We need Him so desperately. May we remain connected to the vine. Let's pray. Father, we confess, I confess, so many times in my life I have gone as though I never even needed the vine. Sometimes I've lived as though I could be a branch and do things all on my own. And Father, I'm ashamed, and I confess those things to you. And I pray, Father, that you'll help all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to see how critical this is. Father, open our eyes to our desperate need of you. Father, we need you individually. We need you in our assemblies. We need you as a nation. Father, we can do nothing without you, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to draw near to you, knowing that you will draw near to us. Lord, make us fruitful branches for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.